The Holy Gospel lesson for today is found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 24th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we gather here today this afternoon, hearing your words of challenge and comfort, of encouragement, and of grace. Be with us now. Grant me those words that I might speak, and each of us hear the ears that we may hear, the meditations you've prepared for our lives. We ask all these many things in no word of our own, but in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. A little science quiz. Does anybody remember this picture?
I don't.
You probably can't see it.
Wait, I'm looking at it. I see you behind the picture.
Okay.
I think I did.
Excuse me?
I think I know what it was.
You think you know what it was?
Yep.
Okay, want to tell us about it?
Is that the first picture of Earth from space?
That's the first picture of Earth from outer space. It was taken in 1972, Apollo 17, by the crew of Apollo 17, and sent back. That's the first image we received of the big blue marble called Earth from outer space. And it happened just 50 years ago. How about this picture?
That's the first picture from the James Webb Observatory.
That's right. It's a picture that just came out last week, taken a couple months ago, and then doctored infrared camera lights. And it's a picture of our distant universe. Some of the images in this picture are believed to be 6,700 billion light years away. 6,700 billion light years away. Anybody happen to know how far away a light year is? It's a distance that light travels in a second is 186,000 miles a second. Times 60 seconds, times 60 minutes, times 24 hours, times 365 is one light year. And this is 6,700 billion light years away. Images of a world that existed back before we are even conscious of time. You ask, why do I show you these glimpses of our past? It was only 1,500 years ago, 2,000 years, 1,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, that it was determined that the world wasn't flat, that it was round. It was only 50 years ago that we actually got to see a picture of the round world on which we live. And it was just days ago that we received images of the world that in many ideas could be before the beginning of time in our own minds. The reason I share these images is because we all believe in a God that was present before the first picture was taken, before the last picture was taken there, 6,700 billion light years of time away. And this is what he says about us. If you're following along in your lessons, the first lesson for today, Peter number 3, chat verse number 9 in the Matthew, or in 1 Peter 2, verse number 9, it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you might proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." You are chosen. Before time began, Christ knew, God knew your name. He knew your presence. He knew your witness. He knew that he was going to die on the cross for you. He knew your salvation. He knew that he was going to be with us always, from the beginning of time through the end of time. Sometimes we forget what it was like to be chosen, or how awkward it is not to be chosen. Anybody ever pick up teams as little league players on a baseball field? Two teams pulling together in just a sand lot. You take a baseball bat. You put your hand on top of the, you throw the bat to somebody wherever they grab it. Then you start your hand, climb up to the very top of the bat. At the very top of the bat, the little nub of the end of the bat might be hanging over. You have to grab the nub there and hold it. And then they said, well, you have to throw it so far. We all know what it's like to stand in the line of gym class and be chosen to be on a team. And the further down your name goes, you're standing there, not being called. Peter starts off his lesson in today's lesson from 1 Peter chapter 2. He wants us to know from the very beginning, we're chosen. You're on the team. You have a place. You're not out there in the ether. You're not out there just wandering. You are one of my people, and you've got a job to do. Did you hear what our job is? Peter goes on to explain what our job is. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have one job, and that's to be proclaimers of the good news of a God who loves us and welcomes us and forgives us and is always there for us, holding us by the palm of the hand, carrying us when the roads get rough, always present there for us, nursing us, loving us, and holding us. And as we fulfill our task, others are able to come to know that God that is present for them also. He tells us not to be like the rest of the world that just takes everything for granted. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes the choir just needs to be reaffirmed to know that they too are important and significant. Each of you, each of us, have a calling by God that takes place with the beginning, knowing that he's there for us and always will be. And sometimes we get so pompous that we think somehow or other that we're able to accomplish these tasks on our own. I shared with the congregation at Resurrection Lutheran Church today, and one of our scientists there, Cliff Lau, he got a chuckle because we talked about the ideas that we sometimes come up with that we're able to do it on our own, and we're able to make things happen on our own. And there was once a scientist that came up to God and as he was discussing with God the things that were taking place around, he was pretty smug because he knew that he had been able to create life. He was explaining to God how he'd done that. And God was impressed. And as he's explaining, he says, well, what you do first is you have to get this pile of dirt, this little pile of dirt, and you hit it with enough electricity, like a lightning bolt, that it fries and changes the makeup of the dirt, and life forms sometimes occasionally begin to be formed. And God looks wisely at the man, the scientist, that's so proud of being able to make life. And God says to him, get your own dirt. Sometimes we think that we're able to make it on our own. And the reason that Cliff was able to get a chuckle out of that is back in his early days of chemistry, he was able to shock a pile of silicone into a mush pile, something like a bolt of lightning worth of electricity, and they got some kind of crazy little silicone organisms. But he never thought that he didn't start with his own dirt. But isn't that the way we treat God? Don't we treat him sometimes like we have the answers instead of he is the answer? The one thing we need to know is that God comes to us and says to each of us today, I'll be there with you and for you. And not only that, I want to go with you wherever you are. We've come through a very uncertain time in our culture, in our world, with COVID, with political upheaval and unrest, with natural disasters and man-made tragedies. But what happens if we turn it around and say, now God, what would you have us do? How would you have us work? What would you have us say? How can we be part of the answer instead of being part of the problem? And God comes back to us as in today's lesson, and he says that we're God's own people in order that we may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us out of darkness. What happens whenever we have God's sightings of how God reached into our world and touched our lives? What happens when we're able to tell our youth, our grandkids, our kids, the strangers in our midst, about how God's moving in the world and touching each other and touching us and encouraging us? What happens when we take seriously the fact that we have been called, that we have been chosen, that we are the people of a God Almighty that cares for us and wants the very best for us, and in fact is there for us all the time? Over the last year, we used part of the film series, The Chosen, which is a YouTube series about the life of Christ. One of the ones we used was about the woman at the well, and how Jesus and his disciples, as they were crossing through Samaria, stopped at a well. And the disciples went on into town to get something to eat. And Jesus waited patiently there at the well, and along comes a lady, a Samaritan. He very gently just asks her, would she give him a drink of water? She was a little angered at the request because he was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And the Jews treated like Samaritans like they were wild dogs. And she didn't appreciate the request. And as the discussion continued, you could tell that the animosity was growing. Got down to it was being Jacob's well, and Jesus said, well, I know Jacob. And she looked at him dumbfounded and didn't say anything, and she went on and said, well, then maybe you should be able to get your own water out of the well. And Jesus continued the conversation with the lady and talked about her past and explained to her about her husband's, and the one she was living with now was not her husband. He just talked to her about her history and where she was, and about the fact that he was still willing, able to forgive and to claim her to be one of the children of Israel, one of the lost, one of the found. And she talked about the Messiah and worshiping on this mountain instead of in Jerusalem. And Jesus said, I came that you might be able to worship in spirit and in truth. Wherever you are, whatever you do. And haven't we pushed that envelope here in our understanding of Lutheranism? We're worshiping at a 3 o'clock afternoon hour. Some, I would guess, are at the beach somewhere. Some, I would guess, are in their homes. Some, I would guess, are traveling back and forth to camping or other commitments. Some slept in and missed their morning services at their own churches, or are here just to celebrate again today as God's people, in spirit and in truth. And we will hear the words, take and eat, take and drink, because Jesus doesn't want us just to be there, just to experience the worship. He wants us to be strengthened for the tasks ahead. The lady, in her exuberance at hearing that she was one of the saved, one of the chosen, one of the people of God, and she says, well, is it okay if I go and tell my friends? And Jesus said, that's why I've come here, is to free you up to go tell your friends. And she turns and starts bolting off towards the city, and the disciples, coming back after finding some food in the city, come back, and this lady is exuberantly running down talking about she's met the Messiah. And he's told her everything that she's ever done, and that we worship in spirit and in truth. Peter looked at her, walking away, and looked back at Jesus. The other disciples were talking about the food they'd brought. And Peter says, did you tell her? Did you tell her that you're the Messiah? And Jesus said, yes. And he said, well, then it's begun. And the disciples began to celebrate, not even knowing what they were celebrating. But what began is that they were able to begin telling the story of God's mighty acts in their presence. That's our jobs. That's our tasks. That's our opportunities. That's our joy. To be able to know that God has chosen us out of all the people of all the worlds out there, that we might be able to explain to others that we worship a God who comes to us in spirit and in truth and sends us as the body of Christ into the world. May we take seriously the opportunities placed in our path, but even more importantly, may we celebrate the joy of knowing the God who claims us to be his own and sends us into the world that others might know the God who loves them and loves us. God bless you all as we continue the journey, because the tasks are yet unaccomplished and there's much yet to be done. But be willing to share your story of God's mighty acts and how he's touched your world. Amen.